Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul addresses a sickness that has infected his church body. They had once been healthy, unified as if a single body with Christ as its head. Each member recognized the spiritual gifts that had been given to them by God. And they'd used these gifts to serve each other and to serve the world. Some were teachers, some were healers, others preachers, still others worked in administration as administrators. And they built each other up, supported each other, and served one another. And they did it all under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But something happened. A disease invaded and spread throughout this body. And now it was critically ill. Immoral relationships, lawsuits, disagreements. They all weakened it to a point where the life of this church was in mortal danger. And some in the church recognized this, and so they sought out Paul for intervention. They called on him as one would call on a doctor, pleading that he would restore this church back to health. And he would unify the divisions, that he would find a way to bring them back to health. But Paul doesn't respond the way that they expected him to respond. He doesn't offer his hands. He doesn't offer his head. He informs them, in fact, that he's the wrong surgeon for this job, for he has neither the power nor the wisdom to bring about its healing. But he doesn't leave them empty-handed. He offers them the only thing that will restore health. He offers them the power of God. And he writes this, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." The power of God. This is what he brought them on his initial visit. And this is what he offers them in this time of desperation. The power of God. And it's this power, and this power alone, that can restore the unity that was lost because of man's actions. And his message is very clear to them. The only way to recover this health, the only way to recover this unity is through this power, through God's power. Or to put it a different way, the goal of this body is unity, and the medicine is the power of God. This seems backwards to the world, for who would strive for unity over power? Wouldn't we want power? Would that bring stronger health than unity ever could? Look across the world today. Have you ever heard of a person who judges another as being unity hungry? Of course not. We thirst for power. We don't thirst for unity. And Paul points this out to them. An example after example, he shows them where they are chasing after power in one form or another. And he tells them what they should be chasing after is unity. And he informs them that the only way to achieve that, to find that, to realize that unity is with the medicine that God offers them. Unity. This is what the letter is all about. This is what Jesus was all about. His earthly life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection from the tomb. It was never about power. It was all about unity. And here's what I mean. We look to the Trinity, and what do we see? We see perfect unity in the three persons of one God. It's a relationship that is incomprehensible only to us. But it's one that's perfect in every way. And there's no power struggle between the three. Only unity. And the outpouring of unity, the fruit of that unity, is one of perfect service between each of them. And when God created man, there was unity also. The unity that was a shadow of the Trinitarian unity. Man was harmoniously united with God. God served man. Man served God. But when that unity ended, so did the fruits of that service. Unity as a goal was replaced with power as its telos, its ultimate aim. And the fruits changed as well. No longer did we live to serve each other and to serve God, but we lived to serve ourselves. But through the power of God, that unity was restored. Father sent His Son. His Son became sin and underwent God's judgment. He was resurrected on the third day. This transfer of unity, this miracle of new life, though, would be of no value to us without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the bodies of the disciples on that first Pentecost and into us at our own baptisms. It's this unity, the one that takes place between the Holy Spirit and us, that brings us into unity with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it's that unity that restores the unity that we have between us and God. Unity that was lost in the first garden. See, it's not power that we desire, but unity. For through this unity, we can now serve and love God. And this plays out through our service and our love to others. This is the message of unity that Paul is driving at in his letter. And this letter could have been written to us even today. Symptoms might be different, but the diagnosis hasn't changed. Just look at the world around you. We see division at every turn. We see it in our political systems. We see it in our societies. We see it in our families. We even see it in our churches, even here at St. Mark. Our symptoms might be different, but the disease is still the same. Have you ever been selfish, judgmental, condescending to those less fortunate than you? Maybe not have empathy for those people who think this way. All of these foster division. They tear down unity. They tear it down in the world. They tear it down in the body of Christ. You see, each one of us is in need of this healing power. of God. Not just for the unity that it brings to us individually in Jesus Christ, but for the unity that it brings to the whole body of the church. So this morning, we call out to the Holy Spirit to rekindle us, rekindle in us the fire of faith that was ignited in our baptism. For we desire nothing more than unity with God and with each other. We desire nothing more than to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For through that blood, His sacrifice, we find unity with God. Please pray with me. Lord, my way maker, You've saved us and have called out people from every part of the globe. We pray for unity between all Christians. As persecutions, troubles, and dangers come, may the saints be aware of how they can pray, love, and support one another. Our bond in Christ transcends cultures, borders, and nationalities. We have a citizenship in heaven. As such, we pray for unity across all believers as we seek to proclaim You to all nations. In Your name we pray. Amen.